Listener sponsored radio.
Okay, and we're back. I'm really excited to introduce our first guest to you. Bruce Tracy is a gentleman that I wrote an article about for the Community Alliance newspaper. It was called Fresno Underground, and Bruce is a modern day forester. What's his first name?
That's a hard one. Ballester
Forester. And many Fresno natives are familiar with the underground gardens over on Shaw near 99. He built a elaborate system of underground rooms, and it's still there today. This was, around the turn of the 20th century when he first built his facility. And one of the obvious reasons is that it gets really hot in Fresno, and you dig down and you've got great insulation and it's cooler. Well, I got a call from Thomas, who is a friend of Bruce's, and Thomas called me, this is a couple of months ago, and he said, "Hey, Mike, you got to come out and take these pictures of Bruce's house because the city's going to come out and destroy it, or Caltrans or somebody." And I said, "Well, okay." He started explaining it to me. He goes, "Well, he's dug underground, and he's got a home under the ground, and he wants to have some pictures taken before it's destroyed." So I said, "Okay, I'll go out and check it out." And so I went out and met Bruce at his home, which is it is no more. It was on Motel Drive by the railroad tracks next to some oleander bushes. And I'll be darned if there wasn't a home underground. And so he invited us into his home. My daughter came. She did some filming, videoing. We called a pirate radio station in Santa Cruz, and Bruce did an on-the-spot interview with Robert Norris from Pirate Radio in Santa Cruz. It was a very interesting experience. Now, from that story that I wrote, it just like took off. And the next thing I knew is that CNN wanted to do an interview with Bruce, and they said, "How do I get a hold of this guy?" And I said, "Well, you got to go out to this one spot at about noon or so, and you get out of your car and you start yelling, 'Bruce Almighty,'" which they did. And they eventually got Bruce's attention, and he did a show, and they came into your place. Bruce, your home was shown all over the country.
Yes, it was. And
what did you think of that experience?
Quite phenomenal for somebody who's being homeless here in Fresno to go from, all of a sudden I'm kind of like almost a celebrity status or whatever. There's like a mole man or whatever.
Hey, how many people have their homes displayed on CNN?
Exactly. And also Ripley's Believe It or Not. So
that was in the Fresno Bee a couple of weeks ago. You were described as the mole man.
The mole man. Yes.
How do you feel being described as the mole man, Bruce?
It's not going to bother me much more than being a homeless man. It's probably even it's sportier, I believe. But being homeless is a sad state of events in my life, and I don't wish it upon anybody. But if you do become homeless, try your best to keep your sanity.
Well, the thing that struck me about this is homeless people can be very resourceful. And you're digging a home on basically public property. This is state of California property. It's not owned by, a homeowner or something. You're not digging under somebody's backyard. You're digging on land that is otherwise not needed for anything.
Not utilized in one way, shape, or form.
And it's as close to the commons, the concept of the commons, as you're ever going to get.
Exactly.
And so Bruce ingeniously came up with a way of being cool in the summer and warmer in the winter. And then you've done this before. You've had various homes underground.
Yeah.
One of which about a year and three or four months ago, the city came out and destroyed.
Right.
Tell us about what happened there, Bruce.
Well, over there, I was across the street from the Del Mar Hotel on what is that, Parkside Drive?
Motel Drive.
And I had I found a garage door to start with, right? And I put the garage door, it was a 20-foot wide garage door, 20-foot by 8-foot tall or whatever, and I put like a facade towards the railroad tracks of this garage door, right? And it had a door in the middle of it, a door for entryway, not the garage door, the whole thing, but the middle of it was a 3-0 size door, and all the rest of the was an oleander, giant oleander bush, and I made this tri-level home.
Tri-level,
yeah. I had an upstairs. I had upstairs, and then it had a basement.
So was the
basement,
upstairs above the ground?
Yeah, it was above the ground, and then it had a level to the ground, and then it had under the ground.
Oh, my God.
Where I put my bicycle, because out here I've lost 32 bikes in the last 3 years. It's brutal, friend Al, who's right sitting next to me, he can vouch for me. It's if you don't have a very, very good lock, you're going to lose your bike.
Right. 30 bikes in how long?
30 bikes in less than 3 years. So.
3 years. And eventually Caltrans came and banged your door down, essentially.
Yeah.
I just saw pictures of that.
Absolutely. No, it wasn't. See, Caltrans on the most recent underground fortress that I had.
Yeah.
There was a gang that came. Seven guys came to my house.
This happened just a couple of weeks ago.
No, just a week ago.
A week ago, and
they burned me out of my place.
Tell us what happened there.
I was at my house, and I was falling out. I was going to sleep, and all of a sudden I heard like a bunch of guys talking outside. Hey, this is it. This is it. And then they were going to come into my place. They were coming down in. So I pushed the door up and I met them head on. I jumped out of the place and I happened to have one of my sticks on me because these guys were all loaded to kill too. And when we confronted each other and started engaging, I found that I probably wasn't going to win. So I engaged for 1 second and then I jumped back down into my place. And they just they started to destroy it. You know what I mean? They took and they were taking the door. They ripped it off and were throwing it on. They were jumping on the roof. And
so these were strong young men.
These were like seven young men. I'm not going to say what gang they're in or whatever. But that doesn't need to be said. You know, but I think that what they did was horrible because didn't know any of them.
You didn't know.
I didn't know one of them.
You didn't have a dispute with them.
I had nothing with them.
So then you told me earlier today that then you left.
I left. To call the police because it was out of control.
And how did the police respond?
They sat there on the phone with me for 30 minutes telling me that the police were on their way. And usually the police will be there in 30 seconds.
Somebody has come and they
waited.
Destroying your home.
They had stole my bike, first of all. And there were seven of them that were attacking me. You know what I mean? And they destroyed my place as much as they could without what they did at the end. When I got out and yelled at him, hey, stop, man, you don't need to take my bicycle, right? And I started running after the guy that had my bicycle, and one of them doubled back with a butane thing and a lighter. And
so it's like a flamethrower?
Right, like a little flamethrower, whoa, and just lit the place on fire. And then I was on the phone the whole time, 30 minutes with the Fresno dispatcher, and I'm pleading with him, please. He goes, can you explain to me what the kind of weapons that they had? And I'm like, hey, check this out, pal. There was seven of them. And seven on one, you tell me if you're looking at what kind of weapons are coming your way. You know? And I was on the phone. I go, did you send the police yet? And you know what he says? I've already sent them. He hadn't even sent them yet.
So
30 minutes went by. And the guy at the store at Clinton and Weber, he said, "Man, what's wrong with those guys?" I go, "He hasn't even sent anybody yet." And then I looked over at my place where it was, and there was 50-foot flames.
So they burned your home into the ground. 50-foot
flames.
Yeah, I went over there the day after, and I saw
it was horrible.
It was just a burnt-out hole in the ground. And now they've covered it up with dirt.
Dirt.
Probably scalp
hands. All my tools were in there, too. And I had unburied them, and I was going the next day when the bulldozer showed up and just buried all my tools, all the metal. Tools, you know what I mean? Like saws.
They buried your
and my
tools that you use
my
for
shovels,
your job.
Yeah, all the stuff that I make my homes with, all gone.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Buried alive.
Bruce, thank you for that story.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to Al now.
Yeah, yeah.
And
thank you very much for.
Oh, hey, anything for the mole man. Okay, so swing that microphone over to Al, and we're going to talk a little bit about another issue that's happening with homeless people on the streets of Fresno, and that is that City Council member Brian Calhoun has introduced an ordinance to the City Council, which was moved on this last Tuesday, and staff is supposed to come up with a proposal. What Calhoun has proposed is that homeless people will not be allowed to hold signs on the median islands asking for money. So, you know, the people you see out there that have signs that say homeless, need food, that would be outlawed. Now, it was interesting that Calhoun introduced this on the very day that there was hundreds of, if not thousands, of volunteers out on the street selling copies of Kids Day for Valley Children's Hospital. And they're all out on the medians. And Calhoun himself is out on the side of the sidewalk waving at people. And part of his argument is that these homeless people distract motorists. Well, of course, Brian is out there himself distracting motorists, but he didn't mention that. They also did talk about the firemen that are on the median islands many times collecting money. And Larry Westerlin, another city council member, suggested that maybe they could have a permit process where respectable organizations like the Valley Children's Hospital and Kids Day and the firefighters can use the median islands to raise money, but you don't want those homeless people there. Al, you've been on median islands before raising money. Why do you do that?
First of all, the median is where the most traffic is. And if you stand on the corner, it's on the wrong side of the passenger, and usually the driver.
Yeah.
And the driver, you know, most cars, there's only one person in it nowadays. Very, very rare do the passenger give anybody any donations or anything. And my point is, they say the homeless people, create accidents or a hazard or anything. I mean, I didn't know they were bionic or something. And, you know, a person is a person. A human being is a human being, period.
Actually, Calhoun introduced one of the officers from the Fresno Police Department to give some statistics, and he said something like 19 or 20 pedestrians have been killed in the last year. Fortunately, Henry T. Perea asked him point blank how many of those were homeless people on medians, and the answer was none. He also asked, he also introduced information about how many pedestrians had been hurt on the streets, and as 100 and some over the last year. Again, he didn't know if any of those were homeless people who were on medians collecting money. There was no evidence that it's a hazard to either the homeless people or the drivers.
Well, obviously, it's directed towards homeless people to criminalize them and put them in prison or jail. And he asked the deputy chief, what would the fine be? The deputy chief didn't know, but it's in excess of $150. Cynthia Sterling, one of the council members, suggested that the jail is already overcrowded. How do you expect for a homeless person to be able to pay this? And they can't. So they're going to end up in jail eventually. So the long term, as the city likes to say, the long term plan is try to get as many homeless people off the streets as possible in a shelter, the jailhouse, and that's what they're going after.
I was at a press conference on Monday with Mayor Autry when he said they were talking about some arrests they'd had out at homeless encampments, and one of the things Autry said at this press conference that was that jail could be the best thing for homeless people because it'll give them a chance to dry out, get over their drug addictions, and straighten their lives out. So I thought that was an interesting comment by the mayor that perhaps jail is a good place for homeless people to be. What do you think, Al? You've been in jail.
Oh,
is that a good place for you?
That's not a good place for anybody. And as Calhoun said, the council member said that the homeless people are drug addicts, they're drunks, or just crazy, you know, illiterate. And I was at the city hall meeting that day. And
yeah, I want to commend you for that. I think that was really good. You spoke.
I saw you
speak. And it's very good that you provide your perspective to the city council, because otherwise all they hear is the policy wonks and the police department. So I really commend you for going down
there
and speaking out.
Thank you. And there's several people that would. Some of them was kind of have a stage fright and everything. And I want to thank two of the people out there that helps very much that don't speak out very loudly on radio or City Hall. Jerry and Catherine, you know, they support us tremendously, you know, and I appreciate that from both of them. And of course, all the advocates like yourself, Mike.
Well, thank you for that, Al. Al, we're going to have to leave it there because we're bumping up against the KPFA Evening News. I appreciate your coming in, and my thanks to Bruce for showing up and telling us his fascinating story. We're going to play a little bit of music, and we'll be back to KPFA momentarily.
Good evening. It's